As we attend to cessation, one of the aspects of this quality of cessation, if I was thinking about this a few days ago, of the within the three characteristics, that's tying that in maybe with the quality of emptiness, in that cessation. And cessation of particularly the self-view, the self-grasping, allowing, when that allowing that to cease, then we're able to have a window into emptiness. So that attending to cessation, attending to emptiness, and thinking, remembering a little exercise that Ajahn Jamnian had people do at the retreat this last year, where having people take sit with their eyes open and pay attention to start to attend to that, say there's the floor and then there's the eye, and that sense of okay, there's the act of cognition, there's the thing cognized, and start to rest attention at a midway point in between them. Start to pay attention, resting attention, focusing attention at a place between that which is cognized and that which is cognizing, say the eye and the object of the eye. And it's a place of emptiness. And you notice how difficult, if you do that, that isn't the natural thing that we do. We don't pay much attention to emptiness or the in-between spaces. We're always going to one thing or another that is tangible or that is sort of clear to us in some way. And it's similar with cessation. Either we're going to the notion of existence or the notion of non-existence, and we don't really abide in cessation. We don't pay attention to cessation. In the same way, we don't, in terms of the act of cognition, we either go to the object or we go to the subject, and we don't really pay much attention to the actual emptiness in between. So that to do that as an exercise, to work with that, to cultivate that, that attention to a middle point, a point of balance, and seeing, and rather than seeing cessation as a, say, an ending, a ceasing, a annihilation, a destroying of something, it's a natural quality of peace that is within the cycle of coming into being and passing away of all things. And that opens a window for us to view things in a different way and start to relinquish the attachments to existence and non-existence, the trying to get something, gratify, or aversion and pushing away, liking and disliking. And can we be in a place in the middle, which is a point of ceasing of suffering, a cessation of suffering. Because that's the suffering is always going around trying to get or trying to get away from, trying to be or trying to not be, and to come to a place of the end, allowing the suffering, the stress, the dissatisfaction to actually cease, and to do it consciously, to be present for that, to be there with it. So that this mindfulness of breathing is giving us starting to give us a window into an opportunity of liberation, of freedom. A freedom from impediment, a freedom of getting out of the prison that we set for ourselves. In terms of practice and training, this is why that the samatha practices are very important, because in order to become more and more familiar with the peaceful places of our mind, the settled and still quality of the mind, of the heart, to be able to just become increasingly familiar with the ability of the mind to actually stop and to settle. And then one doesn't have to make anything of it. It's just that's the capacity of the mind to stop, to settle. But then to take that further and then that sense of going, making cessation very conscious, because we can always, that becoming mind can infect the practice of tranquility as well, where we obstruct the capacity of the mind to become really peaceful. Giving oneself the opportunity to really bring cessation into consciousness, contemplating it. And that, opens up a window for the mind to really settle. So that contemplating cessation, tying it in with emptiness, particularly of that sense of self that arises, allowing that quality of what we, that I and me of that gets so sort of involved in evaluating the results, trying to become something, trying to look for a pat on the back, trying to affirm something, or going in the other direction of the feelings not measuring up to what we wanted to be, thinking that one's hopeless, thinking that I'm never going to get this practice, I'm never going to understand anything, my mind is never going to become peaceful. That's just the nattering of the self, and to start attending to the cessation of things, because nothing is you can, just nothing arises that doesn't cease. So that to start to attend to the cessation of things. That's like Ajahn Chah being asked one time by a person. She was in England, of how did she was experiencing, say, strong anger and being swept up by it, and asked, how do I deal with this anger? It just seems so ingrained. And Ajahn Chah, giving some other technique, you directly went and said, well, you sort of go to the root of it and say, well, just take an alarm clock and set it for 2 hours and see when you, next time you get angry, just go and set that alarm clock and see if you can be angry for 2 hours. You can be completely, totally an unalloyed state of anger for 2 hours. You can't do it. It's always in a process of flux. It's arising and ceasing. The cessation is happening. It's just that we don't attend to the cessation. What we attend to is the becoming, the being, all the reasons why it should be there, why it's justified, why it's right and righteous to be following that train of thought. But the reality is that there's a constant arising and ceasing taking place, and we don't pay attention to the cessation. We forget about the cessation. So we don't open up an opportunity for peace for ourselves. So that attending to cessation it gives us a window of cutting through the mind that entangles itself and suffers. We say, I don't want to suffer. I want to experience the end of suffering. I want to be free. I want to be liberated. But we keep biting into the things that perpetuate the agitation and the dukkha, and we don't make conscious the cessation, the ceasing, the quelling